Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
The eye care revolution is here. Time for the Wizard of Eyes. Here's Dr. Robert Abel Jr.
So you want your kid to learn to play the piano? Just have to read sheet music and wiggle their fingers on some black and white keys? Well, there may be more to that, or at least because an expert is going to share with us some of her techniques on how music and vision are so intertwined. So the famous Sevi Phalangis is back with us to share some of that. So Sevi, say hi and tell the folks a little bit about what's the role of vision and eyes in learning to play the piano from your point of view.
Well, thanks for inviting me, first of all, again to your program. I would like to say that really for those of us with the blessing of sight, the eyes process a lot of information toward getting a final musical result. But what we see can be helpful and confusing and intimidating at the same time, and that's what's important to understand as an instructor. And on the actual piano itself, for example, is a very clear visual pattern for how tones are arranged. But sometimes when you have to try to understand that to go high, you need to go right. When you need to go low, you need to go left. Those can offer gross motor, you know, motor skill contradictions. And then there's the aspect of the notes on the page, which actually I've learned through experience is probably the most intimidating and most complicated process to decipher. And it really needs, you really need to tread delicately, especially with young learners, because you can lose the game very early if you don't do it in small increments and you don't infuse it with a lot with exercises and games that make some of the difficult and impalatable concepts more palatable and more accessible. And then also sight is involved with what the student sees in you, both actively and indirectly, in your hands, your face, and your whole entire body. So being aware of all of that is also very important. And my role as a teacher is to observe what's going on, hands, the face, the demeanor, the body of my student, because that helps me break down mechanics not only at the physical level, but at the emotional level and what I call the mechanics of aesthetics, which is so much more than just how you're playing the piano. I feel like as a teacher, I've reduced my role to what is like the equivalent of the theory of relativity of Einstein. And that is, I am a guide of levels of engagement. That's what I do. I guide my student at the physical, the mental, and the emotional level on how to engage him or herself to create something that is meaningful, that result, that auditory result is somehow a small little revelation of an experience to him. And then sight is more than just exactly what you see. Sight is also your mind's eye. So I do infuse as a teacher a lot of imagination, and there's a lot of theater. I act out things so that they can actually see timing of what it's like to perhaps play a cadence more successfully if they see it in their mind's eye or they feel something through some image that you've drawn for them. And then I guess there is another level, being a doctor, but also understanding at the neurological level so many things that go on, so much good stuff cognitively in terms of tracking, in terms of eye-hand coordination. And there's an extraordinary amount of research, thanks to the explosion of the ability to see the mind and see how it's responding to so much stimulus thanks to computers. And we see that all of that is good for the cognitive development and the social development of all of us.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what this brings to mind, so to speak, is as an ophthalmologist that operates, mm-hmm. you have to use both hands and both feet. It's like the violin.
Yeah.
And it's probably like the piano. And what happens is that once you learn to time one hand on the instrument, one hand on a second instrument, one foot on the machine that focuses the microscope, another one sets the different levels of the cataract aspiration machine. You stop thinking about it, and you just see it, and it gets done. And so what you're describing is you have to take them through the Suez Canal of piano learning to take them in so that they put it together.
Well, that's while you're talking about all those multitasks, I actually bring up with my children at from the very get-go, guess what, folks? We're not wired to do this. So I show them that our hands are not wired to be independently operating. They love to work together, the same motion at the same time, in contrary motion. So when you look like a clown on the piano, laugh about it because, you know, your fingers are just getting used to moving in the way, in a new way that your brain is telling them. So making them really clear about that from the very beginning, I think is really important. It also makes them more patient, and it also does allow for a sense of humor. It's like, oh, you see, it happened again. See, both of your thumbs wanted to play, even though your five finger was supposed to play at that time with your left hand. And then I do all sorts of, like I pick up a piece of paper, I say, do we ever ask ourselves to pick up a piece of paper with, hey, thumb, why don't you take that with the pinky of the left hand and try and pick up a piece of paper? So I show them how, you know, how strange it is to ask ourselves of that and why we need practice.
So how long does it take to have a child, the usual child, not the exceptional one, to want to enjoy playing the piano and wanting to practice? How long does it take to get them to that level?
Well, here's the thing, you know, every child is different, and so I never talk in terms of time with children because they don't like that. And so I just talk in terms of what we have to do to get somewhere. And my lessons are very interactive, and they are infused with visual little characters and rhymes. And I feel that going through that process, you can very quite efficiently and quite quickly, when it seems like it's a, you know, you're delivering the lessons at their level, they can understand how to read music quite quickly, within a few weeks. But now, when I say read music, I should say they understand how to read music, because the actual notes on the page, yeah, are hard to decipher, but that's why I believe in using the concept of relationships, reading by relationships first, and I infuse much color, and I also include the use of color interactively so that they are invested in making choices. So what color should we make this pattern? Okay, would you like to do that? And it gets them more involved and more engaged. Always the trick is the more engaged your student is, the more willing he or she is to participate, and the quicker your child's going to learn. Now, in terms of coming up with a direct answer to your question, how long does it take? Like I said, to read and to start moving and understanding the concepts, it only takes a few months of short lessons. But to start to become facile and to become a good reader takes a few years at least.
Are girls better than boys? Are girls quicker than boys in 30 seconds?
No, they're different, but they're not quicker. And some have different idiosyncrasies. Like I find that boys, for the most part, have the propensity to use their thumbs to kind of latch underneath. It's something they mustn't do. They latch their thumbs underneath the keys. I don't know why boys have more of a tendency to do that, but they do.
Boys will be boys. I'm Dr. Robert Abel. I'm Dr. Robert Abel, the Wizard of Eyes on RadioMD.com. For more information on this segment or any of my segments, visit my show page at RadioMD.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your willingness to learn the piano, and maybe you'll get in touch with Dr. Sevi Phalangis and really get a great teacher. Stay well.